The Old Testament reading for the Transfiguration of our Lord is from Exodus chapter 24. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God, and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the other elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Peter chapter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as a lamp in a shining and dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's message was a gospel lesson. Now, supposedly this is a true story, but there was a man about 60 years ago in Los Angeles that was on trial for murder, but most of the evidence was circumstantial. And the defense lawyer came up with an ingenious plot at the end to sway the jury for a not guilty verdict. He got up in his closing summary and he says, "If you have any doubts in your mind, you have to find my client not guilty." And he says, "The true murderer is about to walk through the back doors." Well, the courtroom turned and looked at the back doors, and the doors didn't open. But the defense lawyer got up and said, "Yes, but you and the jury, you all turned and looked. In other words, you have doubts of whether or not my client did it." 5 hours later, the verdict comes back, guilty. The defense lawyer is beside himself. He stands up, interrupts the judge, and says, "Wait a minute. I just proved to you that you had a semblance of doubt here, but yet you found my client guilty. Why? So one wise and old man stood up and said, well, when everybody turned and looked at the back door, I looked at your client. He never looked at the door because he knew nobody was coming through the door. Like I said, I don't know if it's a true story or not, but it does have something about a star witness who appears and settles the entire case. The gospel lesson is about the star witness that did appear. And who came to answer the great question, who is Jesus? Who was this star witness? The star witness was God the Father himself. He answers the question that Peter, James, and John had, who is Jesus? The Father says, this is my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with him. The relevance for us today is listen to him. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, in addition to being a baptism. So we got a lot going on all in one day, and I love it. Anyway, Transfiguration refers to the remarkable transformation that took place once in the appearance of Jesus. Well, why did the event have to happen? Why did he have to be transfigured on that mountain? The answer's in the context of the story. As I said, the people were asking the question, and it was a good question. Who is Jesus? Jesus even asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? It was a hot topic of the day. And the disciples answered, well, the disciples replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, another Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. I've always loved that, and one of the other prophets. Just in case we didn't name the right one, we're hedging our bets by including all the rest, just to be sure. But the crowd was asking the question, who is this Jesus? He asked his own disciples, who do you say that I am? And St. Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Who is Jesus? It was the burning question on everyone's lips at this time. Matthew 16 is about the human question and response to that question, who is Jesus? Matthew 17 is the divine response. Transfigure happens, and it definitely answers the great question, who is Jesus? Three major events happened that day. First of all, Jesus' appearance was transformed. Moses and Elijah appeared with him, and thirdly, God the Father spoke to the disciples. But all three of these events were an answer from God the Father himself. We read that Jesus led Peter, James, and John up a high mountain, which was probably Mount Hermon, which is about 2,800 meters above sea level. So it's been a pretty decent hike up there, near Caesarea Philippi. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Part of the Father's response was to reveal Jesus' glory. His face becomes like the sun, and his clothes become as bright as lightning. By the way, that's just a glimpse of Jesus' power. Just a glimpse. It's when we get to heaven that we get to see Jesus as he truly is. But a similar incident had happened back in the Old Testament. Moses had come down from the presence of God, and his face shined. It shined so much that he had to wear a veil so the people could look at him. In Exodus 34, it says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony, holding the Ten Commandments in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses and that his face was radiant, they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the peoples of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. It's kind of interesting that when Moses came down from the mountain with his face shining that bright because he'd been in the presence of God, the people were afraid. When Jesus was transfigured before his disciples, Peter, James, and John all hit the ground and were terrified, and Jesus had to tell them, do not be afraid. Just as Moses revealed the glory of the Lord, Jesus revealed his glory. And God the Father gave clear evidence on who Jesus was. The second significant incident is when Moses and Elijah appeared. They're talking to Jesus. One of the miracles that day is that the disciples immediately knew who Moses and Elijah were. See, they had them on trading cards when they were kids. Of course, they didn't have pictures back then. But immediately, the miracle is they knew who they were, which leads us to believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to know who everybody is. We're not going to have to walk up to somebody and ask their name. We'll finally know it. Imagine that, remembering everybody's name. Boy, do I wish I had that. But anyway, Moses and Elijah also represent the law and the prophets for the entire Old Testament. I find it significant that after God the Father had spoken, Moses and Elijah disappeared and Jesus remained alone. As one Bible commentator put it, the law and the prophets have served their turn and passed away. He who is the fulfillment of both alone remains. God the Father answers directly the question, who is Jesus? The Father's answer also says that Jesus will replace the old covenant. There's a new era on the horizon now. The old covenant had been represented by Moses and Elijah, and that'll pass away with the new covenant, which is dependent upon the death and resurrection of Christ. Pastor was asked a question, why did the person need to go to church? Says, after all, I'm a good person. Christianity is not about being a good person. It's about having a relationship with Christ. We come to church to worship God, not primarily to be good. And I've hinted at it a couple of times. The third significant event is God the Father answers the question definitively, who Jesus is. The text says, but even as Peter spoke, which, by the way, that was God the Father interrupting Peter when Peter says, we can build tents, Lord. What do you say? We camp out here for a while. This was Peter, shut up. But even as Peter spoke, a bright cloud came over them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, and I am fully pleased with him. Listen to him. The disciples were terrified and fell down on the ground. Jesus came over to them and touched them and said, get up. He said, do not be afraid. And when they looked, they only saw Jesus with them. God the Father just says the words, this is my son, I am fully pleased with him, listen to him. Here Jesus is revealed as being the Son of God, and then the command, listen to him. That's the relevance for today, is listen to him. When God the Father had spoken, Moses and Elijah had gone, but only Jesus remains. It shows the absolute importance of Jesus in the salvation plan, because Christ was first and foremost in God's plan itself, and should be first and foremost in our plans and in our lives. Notice God the Father did not say, listen to Moses and Elijah and all the other prophets and Jesus. It was listen to Jesus alone. Because Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And Jesus made some pretty outstanding claims when he was on the earth. For example, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. In other words, there's no other way to God except through Jesus. And we don't all worship the same God. That all the religions of the world worship the same God by a different name. That is an absolute heresy that has seeped into the church in some places. We don't have rules and regulations to get us into heaven. It's not a matter of being good enough. It's a matter of coming through Christ. The question I would like to leave you with this morning is, so who do you think Jesus is? If you believe what God the Father said, then the challenge is, as we prepare to listen to what Jesus has to say in our lives. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.